Yes. We don't want them to hear any of the announcements. All right, guys. Well, welcome once again. It'd be helpful if you all pulled out your bulletin so you can follow along for the incredible announcements that Hillside has for us this morning. First of all, we have a celebrate. It's a whole half page, actually a full page, so you know it's important. We have all the birthdays and anniversaries for this month. Stephen and Marlena Singleton, it's their anniversary today. So if you see them, exhort them with, you know, greetings and gifts or whatever you want to do. But it's their special day. So happy anniversary to them. And you can stay up to date with everybody else's birthday. And you can pretend like, you know, you're real caring and, you know, thoughtful. That always used to bum me out. People say happy birthday. And I'd like really touched, but like it's all over Facebook. And so that's how they know. But still a nice gesture. All right. It is Father's Day. And Hillside Community Church has so graciously provided these limited edition Father's Day mugs for every father in attendance. Strong fathers, strong faith, strong families, hopefully strong coffee. It has a nice Psalms verse right here on the back. And here's the deal. I was given strict instructions that these are for fathers. Not somebody who had a father, not, I said earlier, not like a priest or a friar or, you know, a monk. This is for someone who has a kid. So pick those up, but we are, you know, we'll be dropping WWE moves if we see someone with that one. So yeah, those are in the Think Positive boxes over by the coffee. You get a nice little encouraging word there too. So we are welcoming the Muhammedi family from Albania. You're going to hear a lot from Yuli. Very exciting. I can barely contain myself. We do have cake today as part of the Celebration Sunday. So don't forget to grab some cake and also, and I don't know what to call it, an incredible jalapeno cheese creation made by Chris Holman. And he didn't even know what to call it. So just try it. It's fantastic. You may have noticed in your bulletin, you turned me up, man, I can feel that. In your bulletin, you have prayer cards. There we go. You should have two. If you're lucky like me, you get three. And each of these represents a camper, a counselor, or a staff member to pray for this week, because we are starting our first camp of the summer tomorrow. And so the kids roll in, and the battle begins. We're really excited, but we definitely need your prayers. And you guys probably have gotten quite a few of these. I definitely suggest keeping them, collecting them. You can plaster your whole fridge with them, and you'll just have a whole bunch of souls you got covered. So that's got to count for some kind of heavenly treasure, I'm sure. But we don't do it for that reason, but you want to be safe, I guess. Let's see what else we got. Two-man tents for VBS. They are in need of two-person tents. it goes to the theme. I thought it was two-man tents this morning, but it's not. They are tents for two people, and so they are in need of those. See Misty for more details if you have them. They'll give them back. And Misty promised in better condition. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't promise. She suggested it, though, yeah. So anyways, they really need those. And that VBS will be from July 25th through 29th. So if God puts it on your heart to help out with the VBS, see Misty for serving opportunities. I'm sure she's got a bunch for you. It is a lot of fun. I used to always really enjoy helping at VBS and doing games. I think I'll be there this year too. So yeah, come hang out. It'll be fun. The 4th of July Hillside Water Distribution Team is gathering volunteers for this year's parade. So you've probably seen them. They're a force. I haven't seen them. I don't know if this is time to admit it, but I've never even been to the 4th of July parade. Not because I hate America. It's because in Orange County, they do fireworks right over there. But still come, and they need a lot of help throwing waters out, and each water has a scripture verse. So you're throwing living water, you're throwing non-living real water, and so it'll be great. See Ken for details, or just sign up in the back because Ken's not here. So, Next Marriage Monday will be in August, so we're taking June and July off. We pretty much had enough fun for three Marriage Mondays, so we need a little break. And but that's going to be first Monday in August. So stay tuned, stay connected. We really want to keep the married couples like best friends, like we are right now, of course. Last one, thanks to cleaning team number four for cleaning this church. I got disoriented. I thought I was at that, like the Mormon church or something. It's so clean. But also, they have a clean church. So the chairs here were cleaned by the Iovinis, and they like hand did each one. So if you see them, thank them, because they were getting a little gross. So they're not anymore. They look fantastic. So give them a thanks. And I think that is all the announcements. You can always look back here for even more to stay up to date on everything we got. And now I'd like to call the ushers up for the tithes and offerings. Thanks, Rich. All right. Let's pray for these offerings here. Dear God, thank you so much for this time to give our offerings up to you, God. Thank you for providing everything that we need to further the ministry. I pray you bless these offerings. And in your name, amen.
Holy fire, burn away my desire for anything that is not of you and is of me. I want more of you, Lord, and less of me.
That you would bless Nick as he brings your word, and Yuli as he brings your word also, Lord. Have your grace upon us, and we bless you and thank you for your love. In Jesus' name.
Okay, so there was an announcement I forgot. Left the paper, too. But there is a... Oh, that was going to have to freestyle. There we go. There's a handguns fundamentals training course happening next weekend, and it's put on by the same people that did the Code Yellow, I guess, seminar that we had here. So really cool stuff. It costs $150, and you have to bring 100 rounds of ammo, but you will be shown the 8 shooting fundamentals, stance, grip, sight alignment, trigger control, breathing, follow-through, recovery, no bullet bending. Yeah, I'm assuming that's on the 2.0. But we'll figure it out. But yeah, so whether you're brand new to shooting or just want to shoot better, this is the class for you. So that is happening next Saturday. Talk to Fred for more details. There we go. 100% announcement completion. All right. Let me get all my stuff together here. This is how I organize everything. All right. So, as you guys know, it's Father's Day. But I don't have to tell you guys that, because it seems like every year they start Father's Day earlier and earlier and earlier. We're not even done with our Mother's Day dinner. The last bite isn't even in our mouths. When they start the Father's Day songs, when the Father's Day gift commercials come out, when the Father's Day trees get sold out, and our favorite Father's Day cookie making and sprinkling and all that stuff starts. And by the time Father's Day comes, I'm like Father's Day'd out. You know, I'm done with the same songs all the time. My goodness. No, I'm just kidding, obviously, right? Father's Day is not over-commercialized. It's really understated a lot more than I think it should be, not just because I'm a dad. But in recent years, the idea of Father's Day or commemorating fathers has become like a polarizing topic, just like every other topic in the universe. If you were to communicate only through social media, hopefully you don't, you would think that today is like Single Mother's Appreciation Day, because a lot of the posts are saying like, can I get a, you know, a hey for all the single moms who are moms and dads? And single mothers are fantastic. As I recall, you got a day though. And so so we're going to talk about fathers, if that's all right with you guys. Just kidding, you don't have a choice. So there's a lot of neat things to do on Father's Day. There's no movies in which a main character goes through a journey and finds out the true meaning of Father's Day, because the message is pretty clear. Father's Day is about remembering our fathers that have passed on, honoring our fathers that are still here. And to a lot of people, it can be a wake-up call to strengthen the relationships with our own fathers and maybe to, clean that up, whether there's distance or you've had problems or, you know, you just get busy. Father's Day is a good reminder to say, you know what, like, how am I doing with my dad? So, but like everything else for us believers, you know, we're in the world, we're existing, we have fun on these holidays, but we also are always trying to look above, right? We're trying to think, what eternal lesson can we pull from every holiday? That's why there's a million studies for everything. If you go on that Bible app, there is a Bible study for every little holiday, every little theme, every movie, like you find one, you know. But it's because we can find spiritual truth all over the place. So today, just for a few minutes, because we're going to have Yuli come up and share, we are going to talk about how we can honor our Heavenly Father, how we can learn and emulate Him, and also how we can strengthen that relationship with Him. And so, you never want to let a good holiday go unused spiritually. So, when I was, ever since I can remember, whenever we would go as a family, as a massive family, to an event or a new church, which was like all the time, my daughters get to do that too. We're always throwing them in the seats. And I just think, I know what it's like. My family would say, remember, when we go in this place, you represent Christ, the ministry, and the massive family. And tonally, it was very nice. It wasn't like a, you know, like you represent them, you know. It wasn't like a lot of pressure. It was more a reminder that everything you do reflects more than just yourself. And I think, as you get older, you go through like weird stages, like you do like selfish things to get attention and stuff like that. And it was just a reminder that you're part of something bigger. And this was, I think, helpful to me growing up. But also, it was helpful because I had parents and a father who was worth looking up to. And I know not everybody has that. We're going to get into that as well. But one of the ways that, you know, I honored my parents and my father is by obeying, doing things according to, you know, his wishes or his will, but also like emulating him, taking those lessons that I saw in him and working to be that kind of a person. There were a lot of things that I didn't do well, right? Just like I can't strap a device on Addie that makes her like greet every family member with a great big hug and tell her how much she loves them. Like, I wish so bad, you know. I don't know if you guys have kids that are shy. Like, they don't see somebody forever and they just like turn around and don't say hi. And I would just love to like pull those marionette strings and make it happen. But I can't, right? Because that's not love and that's not obedience. And we are given choices. We're given choices to follow our Heavenly Father. We're given choices to obey him. We're given choices to make him proud. And we don't always choose correctly. When you have a good father or a good parent, you have the privilege of watching someone in action. You get kind of like a tutorial. I know this kind of probably doesn't play many video games, but if you did, you would know that there's a character that looks like yours that does things, and you learn from it. You can observe it. You watch how that works, and you think, all right, I'll try to apply that. And when you have a really good parent, it's the same for you. You take things, and you see, man, you know, that's how he handles things. Or how does he handle, you know, people coming to the door and proclaiming things that aren't of God? And my dad is very bold, and he would really be a great example of speaking the truth in love, you know. And ever since I was little, I remember Jehovah's Witness coming to the door, and the guy just left, like, in a big huff, you know. But I knew that it wasn't because my dad was mean to him. It was because that truth in love. And I can trust that, man, you know what? I know that my dad didn't come off wrong. It was what he was saying. And, of course, none of us have seen the Father physically in person. I said earlier, like, if someone tells you they have, like, run away. Like, they're trying to get your money or something like that. Because we won't see him until eternity. But we have a perfect genetic representation, a perfect genetic example of God the Father in Jesus Christ. He is the most clear, perfect, accurate representation of who God the Father is. Just like I carry mannerisms from my dad, Obi carries mannerisms from his dad. I could go on and on. But our makeup is reflected in our descendants. And the same is true for Jesus. So when we think of God the Father as like some stone cold, you know, deity that's very distant or isn't loving, we can deduce that that's not true because that was not at all how Jesus was. Jesus, Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father and that will be enough. Disciples were always doing that, right? We look at them judgmentally, like how could those silly disciples ask those things? That's exactly what we'd ask, right? And that's like the first question for a lot of things we say, like, hey, just show me. Like, what are you trying to hide? And Jesus replied, if you have known me, you have known the Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. He who has seen me has seen the Father. And that, first of all, can be a really good reply to people who say, like, I don't really, like, believe in Jesus, but I believe in, like, God, you know. You can say, like, that doesn't jive with the word, you know. People really like to find a way to not make a choice or make a commitment. And so it says clearly, Jesus says, me and him, we're one. If you believe in me, you believe in him, and vice versa. And in John 14, Jesus comforts his disciples by saying, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am you will be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. there's so many ways that we can relate the picture of our Heavenly Father to us. And when you, it's like so cliche, but when you have a kid, like it becomes more and more apparent. You know, like there are a lot of things that I tell my daughter that doesn't make sense to her, you know, because she doesn't see the whole picture and she might be really upset about it. But I, being the father, know that this is what's best. And when we really reflect on Father's Day, we can look and see that our Father in heaven never left us, never stops loving us, and always gives us the counsel and the guidance that we need. And he's prepared a place for us that we can live with him forever. And that is very comforting, especially if you're someone who did not have a good father. You know, someone who just happened to be there for the conception part and bounce, or someone who actively hurt you. A lot of the kids that are coming next week to Camp Julian Oaks don't see their fathers or were very, very badly hurt by them, and they hate them. And for a lot of those kids, the idea that they carry their father's DNA, that they even look like their father, is, it's a horrible thought that causes them to go to extreme lengths to change a lot about them. And we see a lot of kids who will come, especially as the gender identity stuff has proliferated. It seems like they use that to get as far away from the image of their father as they can. So, you know, if they can change their whole gender, if they can change their name, they can change their appearance, their biggest hope is, I look nothing like my dad. And the Bible speaks of a spiritual DNA, and it's greater than that of our own dads. So this is from John 14, 15 through 20. It says, oh wait, never mind. I just read that, I think. Yes, I did. Anyways, I'm jumping around. But the good news is that the DNA of God, the attributes, everything about him, dwell in us through faith and in his son Jesus. So it overrides those physical, emotional things that were passed down to us. And Paul describes it as Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that can be, again, very comforting, knowing that, you know what, like where I came from, the person that did these things to me, I can forgive them and move forward knowing that they're not the ones that feed into me. You know, when Christ comes in, not only does he wipe us clean, right, of all our sins, not only does he make us holy in the eyes of the Father, which we can't do on our own, but we are able to even attempt to emulate the life that Jesus lived. And what I love about the Gospels is that they portray Jesus in a lot of different situations. So, you know, we look and we see, here's how Jesus dealt with the adulterous woman. You know, here's how Jesus dealt with the Pharisees that were coming after him. Here's how he dealt with disciples who were hungry for the faith, but they weren't spiritually mature yet. You know, and so I really love looking up YouTube videos for all kinds of stuff, like whether it's trying to fix something or like trying to learn a new word or whatever. And there's so many, right? You'll find a solution, but people kind of have their own ways of coming about it. But that's usually the first place I go if I'm confused about something, is let's see a video. But funnily enough, the Bible is not, or even like prayer, is not always the first place we go when we come across an issue with another believer or another person. We tend to go all over the place first. We have campers that will post, like, they'll ask for advice online, and they just get the worst. Like, it's almost like, it feels like satire, but it's not. And a lot of times it can be really, really harmful. And it seems like it's not until we're at the very end of our rope, like we press the life alert and finally crack open the word or talk to a Christian brother or sister for godly advice. We like to do our own thing first, and then we see what Jesus would have done. And that is totally backwards. We have to be so connected and so in tune with what the Father wants and how the Father is, that right when those things come along, we say, like, Dad, what do I do? You know, and I think that a lot of us think we have that relationship, but it can always be stronger. The second part of Father's Day, at least to me, is trying to really strengthen that bond with your dad. And it can be easy in kind of the hustle and bustle of things to let your relationship with the father get a little clouded, right? He's always there. He's always constant. He always wants that relationship with you. It's our end that can be faulty. And just like interpersonal relationships where there's really only one way to beef up a relationship, and that's time. And we have relatives that will say, we don't want any gifts, we just want time. And as you guys know, that's like the hardest thing to give. It's a big sacrifice because we only have so much of it. And there are all these things that come in between. But I always tell the youth group kids, like, I wish I could just give you like a little life pack that will give you like ultimate superstar relationship, no time. But that's not the case. That's not how it works. And there are all these like devotionals, like 30-second devotionals, 20-second devotionals, whatever. They really pride themselves on like spend as little time as possible in the Word. But I don't mean to knock on that, because sometimes it is definitely better than nothing. I brought this up because this is like my all-time favorite, I think, heavily underrated resource for spending time with the Father. It's in Our Daily Bread, if you guys can't see it way back there. They print out these little pamphlets, and every day has a scripture passage, very small, and then a study written out. And that's kind of like, that's the minimum to me, just to give you something. But they also have a Bible in a year, and so you can follow along with that. And if you do both of those, really it doesn't actually take that long, but you leave feeling like, hey, I connected with my dad today. You know, we're tight. And we've all had those relationships where when you don't see somebody for a while, it's kind of like awkward. Even if it's somebody you're really close to, there's that, you know, shuffling around, trying to get the groove in conversationally. And it can kind of feel like that sometimes with God. It's not his fault, it's ours. We have all these things in the way. And the longer you go without reading and praying or in fellowship, the enemy likes to use that to create more distance. And so you'll think like, I know I haven't read in forever, but for some reason I don't want to. And I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that. It's a weird thing. It's where you can really feel that spiritual battle happening like in real time. Even going to pray, where it's like, I don't even know what to say. I don't think I need help with anything. And the big one, too, that especially in the time of virtual everything is fellowship, right? We're called to fellowship. We're called to strengthen each other. We're called to lift each other up as a family, right? He's our fathers. We're brothers and sisters. We're supposed to be good to each other. That delights a parent. My parents would get, like, the most upset when we were just, being upset at each other. So honoring our father by being tight with our brothers and sisters is huge. And that's one that can be kind of swept under the rug or justified. You can justify any one of these, by the way. You can justify not coming to church. You can justify not reading. There's excuses for everything. And the enemy will provide you with lots. He's good at it, and he wants you to use them. So I encourage you guys, as you go through today, enjoy everything about Father's Day. It is a great day to barbecue or like play catch if your dad was there, which mine's not. But it's a good time to call to remembrance these things that we talked about. How are we honoring him? How are you doing? Are you really living like Jesus? Are you really treating people like he would treat them? Are you really going to the Father for everything? We see Jesus in his darkest moments going straight to the Father, like we should. Are you reflecting him? Like, if people hear how you talk, if people hear how you post, or if they see what you're doing, like, would they think that you're a Christian? There's nothing worse than hearing, like, oh my gosh, you're a Christian? Seriously? Like, their eyes pop out, like, and smoke blows out of their ears. Like, you don't want that, right? You don't want people to be super surprised. So we got to remember those things. How are we reflecting him? How are we doing what he asks? And then finally, how is our relationship with him? are we really as tight as we could be? And the answer is no. You can always be tighter. And it doesn't just mean the reading and the praying. It's also living it. It's also putting your trust in Him. It's taking those steps in faith and believing on Him like He is a Father who you trust. There are a lot of times that my dad would tell me something and I'd be like, man, I don't know. You know, that seems like I wouldn't do it that way. And most of the time, he knew best. Like, who would know? A lot more experience. And of course, my dad's just a guy. And our Heavenly Father is God. So even more so than our physical fathers, we should be willing to trust Him, leap when He says leap, and know that our loving Father only wants the best for us, just like we want for our kids. So again, don't let this holiday, it's not really a holiday, don't let this day of remembrance go by without being spiritually enriched and building upon the relationship you have. If you don't have the relationship with the Father, I encourage you guys to just ask. You know, he tells us that when we believe on Him, ask Him to forgive us our sins, He's there. Like, He's always there waiting for us, right? We just have to choose to say, Dad, I want you in my life. And again, some of you know, some of you don't. No matter what you've done, no matter how badly you've treated Him, no matter how badly you think that you've shamed Him or disappointed Him, He always wants your love. He's always right there waiting for you to come back. So now we're going to have Yuli from Albania come up. But first, we're going to have Gus actually introduce him because he can really give him a good introduction. So.